This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Hayyakumullah. Another Wednesday evening and another one of our majalis of knowledge, majalis of dhikr, majalis of ilm, walhamdulillah. Our current series, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walhamdulillah, we have reached up to hadith number 14, masha'Allah, tabarakallah, and the audios are available on the website www.muslimcentral.com, insha'Allah, and they can also be requested from the Al-Ansar bookshop. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in our previous majlis, we had gone through and completed hadith number 13. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsih. Subhanallah. You want to test your iman. You want a litmus test with regards to whether you are mu'min or whether you are not mu'min. Well, the litmus test is, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We learned the importance of this hadith. We discussed the narrator, Abu Hamza Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, this young companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who his mother brought him to serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he served for over 10 years. Our Nabi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made dua for him. Allahumma akthir ma lahu wa waladahu wa adkhilhu al-jannah. Wallah, increase his wealth. Wallah, increase his children and enter him into paradise, subhanallah. And we know that Anas ibn Malik, he lived a very long life. He had from amongst his children and grandchildren over 120 kids, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. He passed away in the city of Basra in the year 93 AH. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, he narrated 2,200 ahadith, and he is from the 7 most prolific narrators of ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. We went through the various narrations and we pulled out the fawaid, that if one sees one's brother or one's sister lacking in deen, falling short, falling down, then one should strive to improve them. We also learned that you should want for yourself what you want for your brothers. You should want for your brothers what you want for yourself. And similarly, the opposite. You should dislike for them what you dislike for yourself, subhanallah. And if one sees something virtuous in the other, can I want it for myself? You see your friend driving a nice fancy car. Can you want the same for yourself? No problem at all. This would not be the hasad which is not allowed. But if, for example, why does he have, I should have, he should not get, I should get, I shouldn't get, he shouldn't get, none of us should get, then in reality this is wrong. You see your brother reciting Quran beautifully and you also want a beautiful voice like that to recite the Quran similarly, no problem with that, walhamdulillah. Obviously, those who are closest to you, your family members, your spouse, your children, etc., they have even a higher level of haqq over you. Not only should you want for them what you want for yourself, that is there, but even maybe more than that, subhanallah, because they have that extra huquq over you. This hadith, masha'Allah, it spreads love, it spreads mercy and compassion amongst one another. So the hadith again, brothers and sisters, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who love for others what we love for ourselves. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Then we went on to hadith number 14. Hadith number 14 was narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, wherein he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاث. We went through the explanation of a portion of this hadith that the blood of a Muslim may not be legally spilt other than in one of three instances. So generally, the sanctity of the blood of the Muslim, subhanAllah, it is a must that one must respect the life, the honor, and the wealth of fellow Muslims. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his final hajj, what did he say? إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. That's verily your blood, your honor, your reputation, your property, they are all sanctified before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the sanctity of this place, sanctity of this month, sanctity of this day. It was the day of Arafat. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, his life is sanctified. Except if he perpetrates a crime so harmful to society that one is no longer deserving of living in that society. So we state that what are these crimes? Three of them are mentioned in this hadith. These crimes are described in a general way in this hadith. One can, for example, state that this hadith is like a partial explanation of the previous hadith. إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. A person's life is sanctified except by the right of Islam. Maybe you transgressed, maybe you had done something where you trampled upon the rights of Islam, and by the rights of Islam it dictates that you would be given the death sentence. For what crimes? We will discuss insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he looked at the Kaaba. And what did he say? You are great. You are great and your sanctity is great. But the sanctity of a believer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than your sanctity. And we said that in Islam, the welfare of the society takes precedence over the concerns of a single individual. Someone, for example, has perpetrated a certain crime, zina, and this person was married, or the person was previously married, then we know that the penalty is death. Someone might say, well, this is harming him, harming his family, taking his life. You know, how can this be? We say, well, we look at the general welfare of the entire society, not only the specific individual. And the harms of zina to the society, there's the breakdown of the family, breakdown of the foundation of the society. There are kids born out of wedlock, diseases spread, there's unplanned pregnancies, then you have abortions, there's conflict between families, there's mixing of paternity and lineage, Allah musta'an. And so the harms are numerous, and thus the sharia puts into place these penalties as a deterrent, to protect the society. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned al-thayyib al-zani. That's the zani, the one who has committed zina, illegal sexual intercourse, fornication, but must be thayyib. Thayyib means that they had previously had legal sexual intercourse. So this person was previously married, or this person is currently married, and now they've fallen into this zina. And so the punishment for the married or previously married fornicator is death, stoning to death, subhanAllah. As for the penalty or the punishment for the one who was not married or never married previously, then 100 lashes. The door to zina is thus closed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the noble Quran tells us that do not even come close to zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Surah Isra, verse number 32. Don't even come close to zina. Allah did not say do not commit zina, but do not even come close. That zina of the eyes and the zina of the tongue and the zina of the hand, stay away from them all, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, what's the wisdom with regards to stoning? Someone might say, well, this is a bit too barbaric, etc. We say, subhanAllah, the entire body got this enjoyment. The entire body was involved in this sin, thus the entire body must also taste in the punishment. Also remember, brothers and sisters, that if one is penalized, one receives their punishment in this world, and one had regretted their action, then there's no answering for it in the hereafter. If your accountability is sorted out, your penalties are sorted out in this world, then you do not have to answer for it in the hereafter, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We had learnt and we had mentioned that some object to the stoning. They say that, well, it's not in the noble Qur'an. They said, well, we find in the Qur'an rather, الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدًا. The male and the female who commit zina, have them lashed 100 times. So some have said, there's no stoning in the Qur'an. Rather, what we have is lashing of 100 times. So anyone, whether they're married, whether they're unmarried, irrelevant, every person who commits zina and is found guilty, they will only be lashed 100 times and no other penalty. How do we answer this? And they would say that, well, if you accept the ahadith about stoning, then you've given preference to the sunnah over the Qur'an. The Qur'an is general and does not talk about the specific penalty of stoning. They also say that if you accept the stoning, then technically you are abrogating the Qur'an with the sunnah. So how do we answer all of this? We say, number one, the verse of stoning was in the noble Qur'an, but then it was abrogated. This was a case of abrogation of recitation, not abrogation of the rule. That Allah mentions in the noble Qur'an, الشيخ وشيخته إذا زنيا فرجموهما البتة. نَكَالًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That the male, the female who fall into the zina, then have them stoned. So this was in the Qur'an. So they ask, well, where is it now? Well, it was abrogated and the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. We say, okay, if you don't want to accept that, we have numerous ahadith about the thayyib al-zani. Numerous ahadith that they're stoning for the one who was married or is married or was previously married and they've committed zina, that they must be stoned. Numerous ahadith. In fact, they are so numerous that they reach the level of tawatur. They reach the level of mutawatir, which the Qur'an is on the same level. The Qur'an is also on the level of tawatur, and these ahadith also reach the level of tawatur. So they are on the same level in terms of strength, in terms of evidence, like the Qur'an. We also state that there's ijma of the Sahaba, consensus of the Sahaba, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had stoned, and the Sahaba, Khulafa al-Rashideen after him, etc., Dawla Umayyah, etc., they had also stoned people too, to death for this crime of zina. And so we say to them that stoning is as strong evidence as Surah Nur verse number 2, which talks about the flogging. So the arguments don't really stand. As for the sunnah abrogating the Qur'an, no, we are not saying that the sunnah is abrogating the Qur'an. Rather, what we're saying is that the sunnah is particularizing the general statement of the noble Qur'an. So the sunnah is specifying the general statement of the noble Qur'an. And subhanallah, brothers and sisters, and we should take a tarbiyah lesson from these two incidents, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. The incident of Ma'iz and the female of the Ghamidiyya tribe. These were two examples of individuals who were stoned during the time of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ma'iz radiyallahu anhu, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, tahirni, purify me. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from him. He comes again, purify me, turned away from him. Again, purify me, tahirni, turned away from him. Said to the Sahaba, is he drunk? Maybe he does not know what he's saying. Is he drunk? They said, they smelled his mouth and they said, he's not drunk. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is he majnoon? They said, no, he's not insane. Subhanallah. Four times he testified against himself that he had fallen into zina. After that, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the ruling that he should be stoned. They had taken him and the Sahaba had begun stoning him. While stoning him, he began to run away and they chased after him and they had him stoned to death. Later on, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this, he said that you should have allowed him to run away. Why allow him to run away, brothers and sisters? So if somebody is guilty of some crime and during the penalty he begins escaping, we let him escape? No. So why did the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say they should have let Ma'iz go? Because the only evidence we had against Ma'iz was his own testimony against himself. And so technically when he's like running away, it's like him taking back his testimony. We had no witnesses, we had no evidence against him, except his own statement. And so when he's running away, it's as if he is taking back and he is going back against his statement. And so nonetheless, after Ma'iz was stoned, subhanAllah, two companions, they were talking about Ma'iz. They said, look at Ma'iz, what a disgraceful death he's died. Pay attention, brothers and sisters, the matter of the tongue, subhanAllah. They said that he died like a dog, came out in public and he died a public death. How disgraceful. And so the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam overheard them. He says to both of them, you see the dead carcass lying there? Hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. You see the dead carcass lying there? Both of you go and eat from the dead carcass. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I mean that animal, it might have been there a few days, might have maggots on it, it's decomposing, it's got a heavy stench to it. How can we ever eat from it? Our Rasul, our Habib, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did he say? He said that you're speaking ill of Ma'iz is worse than eating from the dead carcass. And right now Ma'iz is swimming in the rivers of paradise. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, whose honor did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam defend? Whose honor? He defended a man who was 100% guilty of zina. This wasn't a rumor. Oh, you heard what people have been saying about Fatima. You heard about Ahmed, you know, after his wife died, you know, there's some stories. You heard they got divorced. You know, what's the story behind it, etc., etc. This is what I heard. Don't tell anyone. Allahu Musta'an. Rumors after rumors after rumors. Here, 100% Ma'iz was guilty of zina. Subhanallah. But still after he was stoned, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam defended his honor when people spoke ill about him. Imagine how many times we speak ill of people when we don't even know the true story. We don't even know the full story. We don't even know what's the story. Allahu musta'an. Forget the full story, forget half the story, forget the true story. We don't even know the story. Allahu musta'an. And we talk ill of them. Imagine, Allah musta'an. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam here defending the honor of a man who was guilty of zina and who was stoned in public. You're speaking ill of him is worse than eating from this dead carcass. And right now he is swimming in the rivers of paradise. Subhanallah. The tongue, brothers and sisters, the tongue, brothers and sisters. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Whatever you say, the angels on the right and the angels on the left are ready to record. Be it on your WhatsApp group, be it on your Telegram group, be it on Fitna Book, Facebook, wherever it might be, speaking ill of this one, of that one, left, right and center, having a laugh about them. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we need to take stock, we need to take stock. And similar to Ma'iz, there was this female from the Ghamidiyya tribe. And she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, purify me. He turns away from him like he turned away from Ma'iz. She turns around again and she says, are you turning away from me, Ya Rasulullah? Look, like you did, you turned away from Ma'iz. Look, I am pregnant. Huh? It's not like, you know, Ma'iz, etc. Four times he needed to testify. Look, I'm pregnant, pregnant of zina, subhanAllah. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told her that you are pregnant now, go, come back once you've delivered. And so maybe she was 1 month pregnant, maybe 8 more months, maybe 7 months pregnant, maybe 4, whatever it might be. Maybe it was 9 months, subhanAllah. And then she comes back after delivery. Imagine the emotional side of this woman. Imagine she knows that I'm pregnant right now and I'm going to part with this kid. I'm going to give birth to this kid and I'm going to part from this kid. In both instances, Ma'iz and this female here, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not ask them, you know, who did you commit zina with? We don't want to know. You came forward and you testified against yourself. We apply the penalty upon you. We are not interested with regards to the other party. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, after she had given birth, she came back. Ya Rasulullah, here's the kid I've given birth. There's no crime upon the kid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to her, go, come back once the kid is weaned off breast milk. Because it's the haq of the kid that he has the mother's care and he breastfeeds on the mother. And so, for maybe, if we go with the full cycle, 2 years. Maybe 2 years she breastfed this kid. And she knows, I'm going to part from this kid. I'm going to go in one direction and the kid's going to go in another direction. Allah musta'an. She knows that she's going to part. And that too, there were no policemen outside her home. No warrant of arrest out on her. But she knows, Allah knows. She knows that Allah knows. And so, after that period of time when the kid was weaned off the breast milk, she comes, Ya Rasulullah, look, the kid can eat on his own. The kid was put in the care of one of the Sahaba, and then the order was given for this woman to be stoned. Allahu musta'an. Imagine, brothers and sisters, while she's being stoned, some blood splattered on the face of Khalid ibn Walid. And so he said a bad word about her. You know, loose woman, bad woman. Whatever it might be, he said something. He said something about her. Look at whose honor our Nabi, our Habib Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is defending, brothers and sisters. How many times we talk about this alim and that scholar and this individual and this ruler and that one, etc., etc., where we don't even know the whole story. And in fact, even if we know anything of the story, it does not concern us in the least bit. Here this woman was guilty of zina. She had a kid out of wedlock. Khalid said a bad word about her. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then defended her honor. What did he say? She's made a tawbah. It would suffice 60 or 70 men of Medina al-Munawwara. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatallah. These are two proofs. These are two examples of individuals who were stoned during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the tarbiyah lesson for myself and for yourself is what? Is that never ever lose hope, subhanallah. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these two individuals. Which madrasa did they go to? Madrasa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where did they live? Medina al-Munawwara. Who was their teacher? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who were they pray behind? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who was their imam? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whose prayer would they follow? Prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe who were their friends? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Salama, Aisha, etc. They were in Medina al-Munawwara, the best of places, the haram of Medina al-Munawwara, but they were human beings. They were what? They were human beings. They were insan. They were not ma'asum. Nobody is free from error. Every single one of the children of Adam, they fall into error. Somebody was somewhere. Somebody did something. You said something about someone. Whatever it might be, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah. Clean up matters between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those that you have wronged, contact them and seek their afu, seek their clemency. You know, ask them to forgive you with regards to this matter. And if they do, walhamdulillah khairan barakah. And if they don't, you try your level best. And after you've tried, then the matter is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Clean up matters between you and Allah. Settle matters between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, these two individuals were stoned in Medina al-Munawwara. And these are some of the proofs of majority of the ulama who state that the Thayyib al-Zani will be stoned to death. Bi-Ithnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we will continue. Hayyakumullah.